Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day the Lord has made that. We are really rejoicing and we are glad in it. There is no night between or day with you. You made the night and the day for our benefit. That man will not work 24 hours a day. In the name of the Lord, he cares for us. He lets and we worship you, Lord. Now we bless the Lord at all times, sir. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the new week, Lord. But we say, all that you do, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No coincidence, you set the day of worship to the very first day of the week. You instituted it. On the resurrection day was the first day of the week. And then 8 days later, you appear to them again, you know, and begin to confirm to all the first day of the week, the day of worship. So we can begin it with the, you know, in the name of the Lord. Amen. We thank you, that strong tower, the name of the Lord Jesus, where the righteous have run to and we are safe in there, we are secure. In the name of the Lord, unmovable, unshakable, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Power, you know, to do all things in the name of the Lord, power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Lord, we thank thee. Blessed be thy name, Lord, for sweet, sweet fellowship here this morning, as always. Now, as we open the pages of your word, we trust you, Father, in heaven, that we today even bless us the more. Amen. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. This morning, by the grace of God, spiritual maturity. Amen. Spiritual maturity. Well, it is the will of God, our Father, that we do not retain spiritual faith forever. See? There are many Christians who want to keep babyish in Christ forever and ever and be stagnant in that state. The Lord deploy it. And we shouldn't be that way, really, you know. The Lord wants us to grow up even unto Him in all things. Praise the Lord. So, spiritual maturity. A vast majority of the church today, sorry to say, I'm not sorry, are stagnant, they are stagnated as babes in Christ, like the Corinthian church that the Bible tells us. See about the church of Christ today, the majority of them. Let's read what happened in Corinthian church, how they were just babes for a long time and so on, don't want to grow up and so on. Or like the Ephesian church, God couldn't tell them any kind of a deep thing, you know. So in 1 Corinthians 3, 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you. Talking about the church, talking about the church in general, right, you know. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. You see, and they were Christians, right? But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There are babies in Christ. That we don't want to remain that way. Yeah, there is a joyful time of being a baby in Christ, but the Lord expects us to grow up unto Him, to be like Him in all things, really. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not even able to bear the milk, you know? Neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. Then He named all kind of things in the earth. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division. Look at the church today, you know, all these things. That's in the church, like Corinthian church. Are ye yet not carnal and walk as men? See? But you know, bye-bye. Anyway, in Hebrews 5, 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, studying the church in general. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Look at this one. And I become such as have need of meat, and not of strong meat. Strong, so it's for everyone that uses meat, it's unskillful in the word of righteousness. For it's a baby, see, and so it just sits a baby forever and so on. So it's babysitted all the time and so on like that, you know, in the church world today and so on. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we see the church of the church in Corinth, and we can see the vast majority of the church today are in that state and so on, that you know. And in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now, God wants His people, the church, to come unto perfection. get out of that baby stagnant state and so on, and grow up unto Christ in all things. So in Ephesians 4:11, he made provision for us, for the church, to come to perfection. And he said, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, that is the will of God. The perfecting, that we should be perfect and so on, as I'm going to see right now. Perfecting of the saints. Come out of immaturity. Be mature in the Lord, you know. So, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what's number 13? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at it. Unto a perfect man. See? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where he wants us to be. So that when he appears, we have been so transformed, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. You see that one? See? You know, unto maturity, toast to and fro, and carry about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay the lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. Look at this one. May grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So this is the will of God for the church and so on. And we do well to aspire to these things day by day in our life. Our spiritual ambition is to grow up unto him in all things, to be like him. Praise the Lord. So the Lord wants his children to get the right of their inheritance. Apostle Paul, you know, speaking before Agrippa in Acts 26, begin to tell Agrippa about the ministry, his calling, you know, the heavenly calling and so that God gave him and so on, in verse 18 of Acts 26, talking about that inheritance and so on like that, you know. Let me read that one verse in Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes, talking about the Gentiles now. To open their eyes, he was appointed to the Gentiles, right? To open their eyes, the Gentiles, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, that we are many Christians just stopped. Yeah? And even then, they see that in that one, and so on. They see that side and there and so on, you know. But look at it now. More and above that, you know, an inheritance among them which are sanctified, you know, by the faith that is in me, meaning in Jesus. This is Agrippa 1. Oh, Paul, you almost passed to be a Christian. Paul said, well, I wish you become a Christian, like I, except for this my bond. He was in prison all the time, right? You know, praise God. You know, so we see that one. So inheritance. Grow up, you know. What? No. Getting that inheritance, that will grow up really. Because, as it is said, a child or a babe cannot inherit riches. Why? Give it to him, he just squander it. Amen. Praise the Lord. A spiritual, even the natural, sick or the spiritual too. I mean, give a baby any kind of a jewel and things like that, you know, or wealth and so on. You just squander them and so on, that, you know. Nor a ministerial office, you know, to be won as a personal chance for strutting egos. That was happening today. You see, apostles so and so, professor and so, you know, they put all this actually in their church and so on, that, you know, empty, cloud without rain, right? You know, just touch it, you know. So you see, what's happening in the church world today and so on, that, you know. So you see, and so we see now. So you know so jewels are not for toys. The gifts of the spirit are not playing things that you play around with. Just turn it on and off. Not so, you know. You have to live close to God for it to be right. Praise the Lord. See. So we see that one right now. So now, yes, as a Christian, you are an heir of God. We know that, and if we join here with Christ, but you must avoid a perpetual spiritual infancy status. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've got to avoid just being a spiritual baby all your life as a Christian and so on. Lay hold on things which the Lord has freely given unto you. So let's talk about that heirship quickly and so on. Yes, you are a heir of God in Galatians 4:6. When you know these things and so on, remind ourselves who we are. Maybe we wake up every day. Galatians 4:6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So, you know, an heir means, I mean, being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ means all that God has is yours, amen? Praise the Lord, you know? So, all that God has is yours, belongs to you, and so because you are not here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is, we are joint heirs together with Him. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, so, talking about not just being a child forever, I mean, the church world. When I was a child, there was a time we were all children at one time, but we are not to remain so forever. When I was a child, I think as a child, understood as a child, I even thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There are many, the church was, they want to put away childish things, spiritually talking. I want to just be baby forever and be baby forever and ever, you know. Ought not to be so, you know. Let us go on to perfection. The Bible encourages us. We are to go on to perfection. In Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, or the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands, and even those things who are still struggling with that, even baptism and so on. They're struggling with that and so on to remain a baby forever. Just want to be drinking milk, you know, and of laying all of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And the Bible says, and this we will do if God permits. Now in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, my brethren, I think they say, be perfect. Let's go on to perfection. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. See, God commanded you and be perfect. Be of good comfort, sir. Be of one mind, sir. Live in peace, sir. You see that one? Live in peace. In one place, it says, let the peace of God dwell in your heart, if possible. You know, that we say, live peaceably with all men. Praise God. If at all possible, live peaceably with all men. So you want to be perfect? Then you know how to do all this. And so, so anyway, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, talking of perfection, in James 1:4, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Of that patience, we talk more later in another few more minutes after that, you know. So, spiritual maturity. This is the thing that makes spiritual maturity, right? In 2 Timothy 3:16, we are told, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. There are many in the church today, they don't want any proof. They don't want to be corrected at all, you know. In their big churches, when you correct them, they withhold their tithe. Or they go to another church, you know, and so that, you know. They want to be corrected, you know. See? See? Happen? You know, when they hate a true minister and so on, they always decide and so on that, you know, they want to hear the truth. They will have hip hop teacher with hitching ear. Just what they want to hear only. I mean, they don't want to hear the truth whatsoever, you know. So anyway, so it happened. So but the Lord didn't want it to be like that and so on that, you know. So anyway, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, you see that one, for instruction in righteousness. For what purpose? That the man of God may be perfect, you know? That's right. So are they truly furnished unto all good works. So God corrects his people. So the man of God may be perfect, you know. So let us go on to perfection itself. Even the Lord himself, even the gospel, Matthew 5:48, the Lord said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. See, that is the will of God for his children, growing into maturity in the Lord. Well, so we say, how do I become perfect now? You know, how can I do it myself? Well, You can't become perfect of your own, no more than you can save yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. I get a part of scripture here. We are not to become perfect through some strenuous means or even acts, but by reliance upon the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, we are told these things here. So if you are looking for the way to be perfect, the Bible gives you the answer. You know, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, watch, make you perfect. Amen. You have to depend on him. Praise the Lord. I mean, be submissive, you know, of your own self. You can't do it. You know, no matter, by grace are you saved through faith, right? The same thing. So the Lord make you perfect in every good work, to do his will and so on. Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. How do you do it? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. You have to rely on him. The Bible says, behold, the bride has made herself ready, you know, unto her was given. Whatever we need for preparation, he gave it to us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we have to rely on him, depend on him, and trust in the Lord. You know, submit to him as well as you know. Now, quit working as men. You know, in that 1 Corinthians 3:3, where it says, you know, for your carnal and so on, and they work as men. Then we are commanded in 1 Corinthians 16:13, worship, stand fast in faith, quit you like men, be strong, amen? Praise God, quit ye like men. See, you are an heir of God, you are a child of God. You know, so quit ye as men. And you are a child of God and so on. That, you know, you are a king. You are a priest. Amen. Praise God. You are of the royal priesthood. Quit ye as men. No, Christ dwelling in you and so on. That, you know, quit ye as men. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13 and so on. You know. So I mean, now hold the profession of your faith, of which Christ is the high priest. The Lord Jesus himself is the high priest of our profession. I mean, want to be mature, sure. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, are you happy? And today, Satan will start to call you all kind of names and brand with all kind of things. Bible says, the sight of God as a Christian, having been washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are holy. Amen. Praise God. Say, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, you see, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, even Jesus Christ. The Bible says there, you know. So it's of our profession. So it says Hebrews 4:14 again. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. See? You know, like when you have a profession, I mean, you keep your profession. Our confession also, you know, confessing, not confession of sins now, you know, praise God. So, confession of who you are in Christ, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I have passed from death unto life. I have eternal life. Praise the Lord. See, these are the things you confess and so on, you know. By whose stripes I was healed, you know. So I'm going from glory to glory. These are the confessions you make and so on. That's not the confession of sin. Past that stage already. Praise the Lord. We are dead unto sins, and we are alive unto righteousness. Praise the Lord. See, now in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. See, for he is faithful that promised, you know. So don't forget that all the promises of God are in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. In 1 Timothy 6:12, now this is our maturity, to get to maturity. Fight the good fight of faith now, you know. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. I have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So they don't want you to continue to do that and so on. Fighting the good fight of faith, you know. Going to maturity. Not being a babe in Christ forever. Now, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. See? People will be wondering, oh, when I'm in trouble, where is him? Where is he? It's right in you. You have to dwell in your heart by faith. See? That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's going to maturity, filled with all the, not just barely going, not just barely going by, you can be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that is the going to maturity, being filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I'm going to dwell in 2 Peter chapter 1. We spend most of the time this morning because some things are enumerated there that can bring you to that maturity without fail, you know. In 2 Peter 1, 2, I will dwell on the verses in there for some time right now. Now, it said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you know that I've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness? I've been given to you. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You have to appropriate it, you know. I've been given to you. That is right there, you know. And through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. See? Now, I begin from verse 4 now. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See, you have to begin to exercise yourself in these promises. I mean, pour on these promises. You have to know the promises. You have to memorize them, ponder upon them, meditate upon them. Like Joshua of old and some of that, you know. He said, you know, even David himself said, in his word do I meditate day and night. Amen. So when you are awake in the night, what are you thinking about? When you wake up in the morning, what are you thinking about? You know? So meditate upon the word of the Lord. Digesting the word. Amen. Digesting the word of God. You know, even like your material food, when you eat it and so on, if it's not digested, it can't give you any energy, right? Yeah, you just crowd your stomach and you just stay there and you become even more weak and something like that, you know. But you have to digest it and then assimilate it, then it will do you some good and give you some energy. Same thing in spirituality and so on. You have to digest the word of God. Meditate upon it day and night and so on, you know. So then this promise is now partakers of the divine nature of the Lord, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through Lord. Praise the Lord. See? So that's a Christian who is going to maturity. He has escaped the corruption that is in the world through the Lord of the eye, the Lord of the flesh. They are not of the Father, right? Praise the Lord. So but the Christian who is going to maturity has escaped all these things. Now, verse 5. And beside this, so I'm going to spend some time on these two verses here. And beside this now, see? Giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. See? And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. If you want to mature, this is God's prescription. Amen. Praise God. For coming to spiritual maturity and perfection, you know. Temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if this thing be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. I don't want to be blind. I cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his sin. Verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, you shall never fall. I want to go back and talk about those things that he talked about. Beginning from verse 5, he said, give all diligence, right? We don't serve the Lord haphazardly, you know. Whatever we do for the law, we should do diligently. Praise the Lord. We are told in Hebrews 11:6 that the Lord, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, you put diligence. People can sometimes this world, people are workaholics, right? They can do everything in the world for their work on heart and so forth, which is good, which we are told also, in order to have to do, do it with all your mind. That is after you have sought the Lord first, amen? God has to be first, praise God. Then you can put all your effort to your earthly work, you know, of all these things in this world. We bring nothing to this world. We aren't going to take anything with us when it is all said and done. Praise the Lord. And the sweet thing is this. When you seek for the kingdom of God, he says, we ask to you all these things that the ungodly are running after. Is it what you are serving? God doesn't mean that as you serve him, the more you serve him, he says, I will add this thing to you. But the God's people, you overlook this thing, something like that, you know. And they put a cap before the horse. They think by serving God with all their mind, they're going to do something. You've got everything to gain. Praise God. God is a rewarder of them. And diligently seeking. Praise the Lord. So we see that in the word of God. So giving all diligence, right? Now, okay. Add to your faith. So we see that there. To your faith, right? Faith is the foundation. See? Now, I'm going to look at this thing as if I'm building a house. You know, this passage here. So faith is the foundation of all things, right? So think of a temple, talking about that and so on. First of all, you lay the foundation, right? I can see in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, which I will talk more, you know, down the road and so on. So this thing you mentioned here, like you are building a house, a temple, a spiritual house, really. So we are told in 1 Corinthians 3, 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And then in 2 Corinthians 6, 16, we are also told, for ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them. That's you and I, you know. And even walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. God walking in you. That is the sign. Who can question him? Not Lucifer. And that's who you are. If you let him in, praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I will walk in them. I will live in them. See? Even in some of the Bible verse we ever knew coming to a Christian, if any man believe in him, I and my Father will come to him and take our abode in him. These are not just idle words, praise God. Christianity is the only thing in the world where the Almighty God dwelleth in the believer. No, that Buddha doesn't dwell in anybody, Muhammad doesn't dwell in anybody, they can't. They are in grace and their bones are smoldering, you know. Only one empty tomb, the tomb of Christ, amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. And those after his resurrection in Matthew 27, 52 and 53, who rose after his resurrection, the first resurrection of the first fruit. So that's it. Praise God. Only Christianity, you know, and has any concept of resurrection. Others, they are the seed of the devil. Mm. They say they can come back again as a cat. Or come out as a cow. So the intent. Some nations are so deceived, like India, they don't even eat cow. They think these cows are some of their ancestors, you know. Devil is an oppressor, praise God.
Mm.
And gain that in my half life. I have it more abundantly.
Mm.
And who, if the nation has set free, is free indeed. Amen.
Mm.
We are free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we say, oh, you see, faith is the foundation of this spiritual house. Faith, you know, you build a house, you pour concrete and so on. That's your faith foundation. And so much to how it's the foundation now, even our salvation in Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, right? It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why faith is very important, you know. So they begin by saying faith, this spiritual heart which the Lord dwells, this temple of God which you are. So faith is the foundation of this spiritual house. Praise God. So in Hebrews 11:6, we are told further about faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Sometimes we forget about faith when we are facing difficulty and so on. No matter what else you do, you know, you can't please God without faith, amen. And you know, you got the victory eventually. When you know that you are coming to the end of yourself, you're going to have to believe God, amen.
Mm-hmm.
You have just done it right away from the, you know, from the start. Praise the Lord. So faith. So we see. Now, and then he said, to your faith, you add virtue. That's not the end of it. Thank God for faith, the foundation of anything, and so on. Then he said, add to your faith virtue. Well, what is virtue really? Well, when we talk about virtue here, we aren't talking about a virtuous woman like a marriage. No more we are talking about the 10 virgins being pertaining to the married life. Virtue here means what? It means what? It means the power of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Yes, it means the power of God. So because we are told, and we can see the Bible, it means the power of God, it means the strength of God. Have the strength of God, amen. See, the joy of the Lord being your strength, amen. So even the Lord said about virtue in Luke 8:46, you know, to see what virtue really means. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is the thing we are talking about right there, virtue. Even in Luke 6:19, we are also told, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Praise the Lord. And in Luke 5:17, we are told, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Can you imagine? Which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the law was present to heal them. See, that virtue, the power of God in your life, and so, you know, so to know, to your faith, have that virtue. Let the power of God dwell in you. You know, lay hold on it, and so that you know, and but know by clinging to the Lord, and so, you know, and trusting and believing. So virtue to your faith, and so on. Now, and don't stop there. So add to virtue knowledge, right? So where we aren't talking of worldly knowledge here either. Praise God. Talking about the knowledge of the word of God, amen. See, I said it here one time. Many people today in the church world, they fed the same three healthy meals a day, which they don't even really need, right? And come to the word of God, one cold meal, or even less than a cold meal. You know, that's how they do for them. That's how spiritually talking is concerned, that's all, you know. So the knowledge here is the knowledge of the word of God. Praise the Lord. So have knowledge to your virtue, and so you know, have to virtue knowledge of the word of God, knowledge of the glory of God. We are told in 2 Corinthians 4:6, this knowledge of the glory of God, of the word of God, of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. See? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of knowledge you're talking about, amen? Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, see this Holy Ghost anointing and something like that, you know, in hearty vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? So knowledge of the glory of God. Knowledge of the word of God. You pour upon the word of God, you become a walking scripture. Praise the Lord. See, what else do you want to know more than the word of God in this world? What knowledge do you want to gain that can compare to the word of God, you know? So you pour on it, meditate upon it, and so that you know, knowledge of the glory of God, knowledge of the word of God. Now, and to knowledge, you add temperance. That is in 2 Peter 1:6. You have, you see, maturity. These are the things that it mature a Christian, you know. If you want to, don't want to marry a baby forever, they don't need these things, right? Not only be drinking milk all their Christian life, they don't need this kind of thing, right? So they are pleased with just milk. Even some adults, even naturally, I mean, only human beings, adults, drink milk that I know of. Amen? Praise the Lord. And in the other kind of, I don't compare with animals, but other creation and something like that, you know, they win their little one for milk, right? Only adults of human beings drink milk. Praise the Lord. That's true. And make me sick, really. To me, I don't know what year I drank milk last. I don't know, maybe 40, 30 years ago. Praise the Lord. See? So anyway, and So we see. So temperance now. Temperance means what? Moderation in action. Dictionary definition. Even dictionary says moderate in action. In thought or in feeling. It means restraint. Habitual moderation in the indulgence of even the appetites or passions, you know. So this temperance will include what? The control of the tongue. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Not being a tattler. You know, Bible talking about a tattler. Tattler means gossipers, you know. Praise the Lord. Amen. See? Don't think we hinder any person from being coming to maturity in the Lord. So, you know, so that's what have temperance in those things. Control of the temper. Not fly off every time somebody speaks against you. And just fly off and begin to just do like an unbeliever. See? Don't do that. Temperance, you know, where every one of us have what to do in this area. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How easily we get angry when somebody just against us for whatever reason, whether wrongly or rightly, you know. So, or crosses us, I don't know. Temperance will help you to maintain your equilibrium if you want. So, how to answer in kindness, sir? When someone speaks to you in wrath, you know, want to. Many Christians want to answer back the same way, you know. So temperance will prevent you from doing that. That someone can be anybody in your life. It could be your office worker, could be your co-worker and so on. It could be somebody driving on the road. We have had driver shootings, right? In this place and so on. It could be your husband, it could be your wife, you know. People cross you. Speak to you in love, not to answer back in love, you know. So anyway, in 1 Peter 3:9, to this point, 1 Peter 3:9 say, not rendering evil for evil. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Not rendering evil for evil, and railing for railing, but the contrary wise blessing. Can you imagine that blessing? Knowing that ye are there unto call that is you inherit a blessing. Praise the Lord. See, don't make railing for railing and something like that, you know. So, when the devil said, even the Lord, our example, the Lord said to him, if thou be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Well, God could have done it to prove that he was God, but he was temperate in it. He wouldn't make a bread for the devil, praise God. So, he didn't do it for him, and so he was temperance, you know, he did it and so on, you know. And even more about the Lord, teach us about temperance, you know, and in Matthew 10:25, the Lord told us these things. He said, it is enough for a disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, calling God Beelzebul. Can you see the temperance now? Teach us this thing. You know, teach us temperance and so on. How much more shall they call them of his household? The Lord teaching us. See? And we remember in the Passion of Christ, you know, the ridicule, all of his offices, you know, whether it's prophetic office, they ridicule it, Matthew 26:67, then they spit on his face. Can you imagine? Spit on his face and buffeted him, temperance, right? You know, and others smote him with the palms of their arms, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? The Lord teaching us temperance. At one time, he said that if they hit you on the left cheek, turn the right to them. Amen? Temperance. The Lord taught us in every way that he could. And one time, at the 27th of Matthew, he talking about temperance. The Lord showed us. And the 27th of Matthew 27. And when they that had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hey, King of the Jews, of all this insult, of all this torment, the Lord went through in the hand of his own creation. Yet on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Amen. Father, forgive them. Temperance, for they don't know what they do. Yet he says in Matthew 5:48, be ye also perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. These are the things we do to attain to spiritual maturity. Now, as much we are exchanging really for really, we are still far from being mature. Praise the Lord. You know, let us look at the Lord's example here and something like that, you know. So anyway, we are also told that in 2 Peter 1, see where we are, to temperance, we are to add patience. Another thing that the church needs today, like never before in the history of the church, to add patience to your temperance, right? We should first have patience with God. Amen? See? There is something that says patience with God, or even patience with the word of God. How do you do that? When God says anything, you believe it. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that's all. Then you have patience, you know. Patience with God's promise. You know, so we are told in James 5:10. Take my brethren. See? The prophets. Some people are not even prophets today, I'm sure. They don't know what it is to occupy the office of a prophet. Praise the Lord, you know. You just want the title, that's it. And then the people are just singing their praise. No, that's not the office of a prophet. I mean, it's different, you know. Only the elect, the law of a prophet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so let's see. We are told in James 5:10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. See? Nobody can occupy the office of a prophet without having patience. Behold, we count them happy, which endure. We have heard, here are some of them now, we have heard of the patience of Job, one of the prophets. And I have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, in Hebrews 11:7, we're talking about Noah, talking about the prophets now, as an example of patience. Name some of them here this morning and see how they have patience with the Lord. I say this patience can be with the law or the promise of God, you know. So we see Noah in Hebrews 11:7 by faith. Noah, that foundation, right? He had faith, right? That foundation. No, but he had patience with his faith too, as I'm going to see right now. By faith, Noah, being one of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepare an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So you see, upon having faith, there is no such thing, there is no precedence of any kind of a rain that will wash out the whole heart, but Noah had faith, right? The foundation. So then with his faith, he had patience with it. It took 120 years. Tell me about patience. Praise the Lord. Building the ark and all these things and suffering the mockery. What do you mean, all the scientists of his day? You are just so foolish. What kind of rain will come and destroy the world? He has faith. He has patience with the word of God, you know. And he waits. Even at the end of the day, when the Lord says, okay, now time has come, go into the ark, take the animals two by two, your family and so on, that, you know. It took 7 more days, right? Maybe, you know, and maybe his own family in the ark will say, what's going on here? Are we crazy here and so on? Anyway, but eventually, the court guest said so, the rain came in, and just exactly as God said, you know. And that goes to everybody who is a Christian. And the problem with many of the people of God is this. When God has spoken his word, if you don't have patience with that word, you may be tricked out of your blessing, amen? When God has spoken it, have patience with the word of God. So that, let's just leave it there. We can touch on many other prophets in there in the Bible. So now, in Hebrews 6:12, we are told that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, the foundation of faith, right? Now I talk about patience again now. Inherit the promises, you know. So take patience, not just faith. And if you don't have patience with your faith may falter down the road, you know. You know, just run out and something like that, you know. So patience has to come with faith. Inherit the promises. For when God has made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, watch this now. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Even at 75, he was told about these things and so on. Took him another 25 years, you know, waiting for a child. The scientist of the day, you are deceiving yourself. Your wife has passed the age of whatever they call it. He has no beyond children and all that, you know. He stood all those mocks. Bible says in Romans 4, I don't have it here. Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, you know, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God has spoken, it shall come to pass. Maybe sometimes his wife will be pressing, what's going on there? You know, when God spoke, we just wait. Praise the Lord. Patience with the word of God. If God said it, it's infallible, it shall come to pass. Immaterial of how long it takes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You see, so patience, so that you know, with God and the word of God. So look at eventually, of course, they got a baby, no matter what. Look at Moses in the wilderness, you know. Have to wait for 40, you know, the prophet, right? See Abraham there? Abraham is a prophet. Yes. He said, you know, was he a prophet? He said that king, when he took his wife, Abraham's wife, said, hey, don't touch that man's wife, for he is my prophet, you know? Praise the Lord. Yeah, he was a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Bible says so. Anyway, so you see the patience there and some of that, you know. So here is Moses and so on. He knew something in himself, even as a child, that there's something that is God's hand upon him. He just knew it and so on. The gift and the callings of God without repentance. You know, he just knew there's a commission that God gave him. And of course, in patience at first, going ahead of the Lord and so on, you know, made a ghastly mistake and so forth, you know. But they all knew that if he suddenly made a mistake, he loved the people, you know. But that God doesn't work that way, right? So, you know, 40 more years in the wilderness, waiting on God. Eventually the commission came. Praise the Lord. So patience with the word and the promise of God. Now Elijah the prophet and so on, he had patience too, you know, even in the event of bringing back the rain, right? Now let's see what happened in 1 Kings 18. We are told to look at the prophet as example, right, of patience and enduring, you know. So having patience to your temperance, right? So now Elijah the prophet, he was told in the institution of bringing back the rain again. He didn't have so much problem in causing the drought. You see, sometimes you have quick victory in your life and so on. Praise God for that. There are the time the same God who gave the quick victory wants you to delay the patience for this other victory. Eh? Mm-hmm. So, but we run out of, you know, so you see. So now, in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, that God told him, and it came to pass after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord, remember? In the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I, the Lord, will send rain upon the earth. That is the word of the Lord, right? You know? And then, lo and behold, he did all he had to do. Now, time for the rain to come. Pray the first time, nothing. You know? Second time, nothing. Can you see that patience now? I think that unbelieving servant and so on, you know? I thought I'm nothing, you know, but the word of the Lord told him, I have to have patience with the word of God, right? God told him, I will send the rain, not to Elijah. I, the Lord, will send the rain. So, but eventually, in verse 43 of the same chapter, and said unto his servants, go ye now, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Can you see that patience? Praise God. He didn't just begin to depend upon the servant. He has had the Lord said, I will send the rain. That's all we really need. Praise God. That is all the promise of God is all we need. So verse 44 says, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up. That's good enough for me. Say, Elijah, amen. That is good enough for me. Praise God. Go tell Ahab, you know, go and tell Ahab, prepare your house, your chariot, and get it down. That the rain stopped it not. See? And I know the story. And so the rain came anyways. He had to pray 7 times. And put his eyes before his knees and so on. Patience with the word of God. God has spoken it. I mean, it shall come to pass. Amen. Praise God. He knew God spoke to him. When you know God speaks to you, it doesn't matter. Because of the matter of healing, makes no difference. By whose stripes you are healed, amen? Praise the Lord. God said, just stay there with God. We've seen many examples, even among us and so on. the grace of God, you know, and some of that, you know. So let us continue this kind of matter, the faith of God. Coming to maturity now, some of that, you know. God has promised another type of rain. At the end of time, all this as example for us. God, like Elijah of old, God has promised Elijah things. At the end of time, a spiritual rain that is going to come. And God never changes the way he does things. That rain to come requires patience. Praise the Lord. That's right. In James 5, verse 7. See? Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and later rain. Now, verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. See, for the coming of the Lord, verse 9. Praise the Lord. So it's the same thing, God works the same way. So, oh, we have been praying for all these years. Yeah, you continue to pray like Elijah of old. Praise God. If you come at the appointed time, blessed be the name of the Lord. No giving up whatsoever. Now the Lord told one round. The Lord told probably like 500 people in the book of Luke 24:49. We are shown examples, you know, how patience works and so on. I mean, that is a big subject in its own self. I think it's worth it, something like that, you know. I believe over probably like 500 people, the Lord told them, tarry in Luke 24, verse 49, I believe it is, you know. And the Lord said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power among high. I believe only 120 really follow through with the Lord, you know. And you will think, so here they were in the upper room. The first day came, right? Nothing. Where is, you know, where, what's going on here? Second day passed. They just continued, but they continue in prayer with one accord in Solomon, but they continue in prayer. Praise the Lord. Just praising and praising God. You have patience with the word of God. Second day passed. Yeah, I mean, visibly seeing nothing. Third day passed. Fifth day passed. Sixth day passed. And so they were just waiting there, and trusting the Lord, having patience with the word of God. But eventually, in Acts 2:1, eventually we are on the 10th day, in Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You see that? It came. And suddenly, there came a thunder from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them glowing tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them up. So we see that now, first day, and so we can go on and on, patient with God, patient with the word of God. If God has spoken his word, that's all you really need. So time will fail us. Bible says that to talk about Daniel, amen. Praise the Lord. 21 days and so on, that, he knew that's a contention, he just waited there, he waited it out. Praise God, he didn't give up on the 10th day, nor the 11th day, or even the 28th day. You see, patience. The prophet, example of suffering affliction and of patience. You know, as that, you know. So we see. Now, and in Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all places, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. But 11 says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience. You see that one? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Amen. When you are waiting in patience, don't carry on long faces. Praise the Lord. Wait in joyfulness. He loves a joyful people. Praise the Lord. See, you're not doing it on yourself, you are doing it on the promise. You know, it's as if you already have it. When you pray, you have it, right? So with joyfulness and so on like that, you know. So that's what the Bible is telling us here. So now let's quickly go to the next one. And the Bible says, and to patience, godliness. You know, godliness in 1 Peter 1:6. Next thing, this spiritual house, the temple of the Lord, who you are. See how you come to maturity in being or something like that, you know. So godliness. And, what godliness? Godliness means to be like God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Godliness means to be like God. That's it. And so on. So you got faith, you put virtue, you got knowledge, you got temperance, patience. Now the next to be like Jesus, amen. godliness, and so on. You may think that, how can I be like God and so on? The Lord himself said this in John 10:34. So you can be, you can Bible says you can be like God. In John 10:34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Praise the Lord." That's right. Yeah. And then, now, the Lord is bringing this scripture from the Old Testament scripture. And here, in that scripture, in the book of Psalms, God is talking about the children of the Most High. You know, when they say God, the little g, God and so on. That is in Psalm 82, verse 6. I have said, "Ye are gods, sir. Who are these people? And all of you are children of the Most High." Praise the Lord. See? Yeah, God. Bible says so, little g, right? God and so on. You know, so godliness. Be like Christ, you know. So and that's why in John 14:12, the Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also. And greater work than this shall he do. Because I go to my Father." So godliness, just be like Christ, you know, Christ-like, as well as, you know, by His grace. Now, let's begin to round this up real quickly. So now, in verse 7 of 2 Peter 1:7, coming to maturity, this spiritual heart, this temple of the law, add to godliness, brotherly kindness. It says, "Well, concerning any matter between you and a brother or a sister, put yourself in the place of the other person." Amen. Praise God. That's right. Put yourself in the place of the other person, you know. "If a brother or a sister is out of tune with you, be patient with him or her." Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, kindness, right? You know, forgive. If a brother or sister sin against you, praise God, forgive them. You know, even among the disciples, you know, this kind of thing arose. Why the Lord was still here? All this, did something to me. Sin against me. That's why in Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him, came to the Lord and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Yeah. You know, you see, you know, and but Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto you unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. See, that is just in one day, right? So, and the Lord just brotherly kindness, you know, no matter what they have done to you, let us be like Christ, you know, because godliness will make you to forgive, amen? Praise the Lord. Godliness, you know, the character of Christ, partaker of His divine nature, right? Divine nature forgive, praise the Lord. And carnal nature will hold on to unforgiveness, I don't know what you know. Now, let's quickly move on to come back on that. So now, and to brotherly kindness now, charity. That is in 2 Peter 1:7. Charity, this spiritual house, which you are, and I are, that Christ dwelt in and is walking in it. In John 13:34, a new commandment. So we know charity is love, right? And John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." See, Christ-like, right? Godliness, right? See? You know, that ye also love one another. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love," or "if ye have love one for another." And on this one alone, one can teach like 3 or 4, 8 sermons on just love alone. We just read sample scriptures. Yes, I'm doing here. In John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you." In 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God." And the book of John, that first John, he wrote many other things about love that, you know, but I will just keep that. In 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently," you know. So that is how much scripture I will read on that love and things like that. So we are living in a country. So where we are today, this country and so on, this country is in divine providence, you know. This country called United States, in the divine providence, of which the Lord said, in Matthew 21, I'm finishing up here, 21 of Matthew, verse 23, by this country, talking about this love thing, this love, I want to put it in a different dimension right now. You know, we are building a house, that is a spiritual house, right? So, and love. You know, so therefore, so in Matthew 21, verse 23, therefore I say unto you, talking about this country, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. Without any controversy, I don't know of any other nation but the USA that fit this description that the Lord has given. So we are in this country now, but who is in divine providence? God has revealed himself, you know, or his word to mankind in three major ways, you know. So I'll come back to the US later, you know. First of all, we know, we say it here all the time. The first way God revealed himself, before there was any writing material, before there was any, you know, anything, was in the heavens. So the heavens became the very first Bible. As far as we know, and the Bible says so, you know. So, you know, God go with three. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the same one, the titles and so on, the same one, and so three, perfection and so on, you know. So in the same way, he has revealed himself in three major ways. The number one way we know is in the heavens, you know. Bible, where they call it Zodiac, you know, Bible call it Mazaros. That is in Job 38, 32. Canst thou bring forth Mazaros in a season? Or can thou guide Arcturus and his sons? So the first sign in Mazaros, there are 12 of them, right? I won't go deep into that one right now. So remember at the beginning of this sermon, we talk about not just drinking milk anymore, right? So that we're happy to put this kind of thing in here. Praise God. Now, the first sign in Mazaros is Virgo. What does that mean? You know, it means the first coming of Christ. You know, the virgin birth of Christ. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. See, right there in the written word. It was in the heavens before there was any writing material and so on. God depicted in the heaven and so on, that you know, in the first constellation, which is Virgo and so on. Now, without going through all the constellations, the last one or the 12th one, is, you know, is Leo, and depicted the second coming of Christ. We read of Christ in Revelation 5:5, and he said, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So Leo, the last translation, Leo the Lion, right, in Mazaros, and so the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So we see that. Now, the second witness God put on her is the great pyramid of Egypt, you know. So, some call it the house of Enoch. We have gone through this many, many times here, so I won't go too deep into that. The house of Enoch, many believe, I believe too, second Bible, really. In fact, the same Isaiah, who said of the virgin birth, say the Lord will give you a sign. The same is talking about of a sign in Egypt. Isaiah 19, verse 19, that's a sign in there. And he says, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign. See? A sign. And for a witness. The Lord began to witness of himself. First not in the heavens, then in the stone, then in the written word, you know. See? You know? Unto the Lord of hosts, the land of Egypt. Now, of course, thirdly, the written word. Now, back to the US here now, and this divine love, which is the last one the Bible talks about here, to bring to maturity and so on, as you know, in this country of Providence, where we are living right now, so on its currency, the $1 bill, there is a picture of a pyramid in India, you know, on top of it, there is an eye looking on top of that pyramid and so on, and that eye standing there above the pyramid, unto this country that God said he will give the kingdom of God when the Jews rejected him, by providence they put that pyramid there, they put the eagle, the prophet, and so they put the eagle there, and by divine providence they put the word in God we trust. That eye is testifying, that eye on the pyramid in there is testifying that God, you know, that God is the seal of the whole universe. You know, they call it, they say the great seal, right? Right there, that $1 bill and so on, that, you know, it means a lot of things. The country of providence, the land of providence, you know, that carry the gospel, the eagle signifies, you know, that the carry of that gospel in so many, many ways and so on, that, you know. So the great pyramid was India, you know. So it was that in this land, in their currency and so on. I believe the pyramid being what it is, I mean, the only standing of the ancient wonders, the ancient wonders of the world, the only one that is standing, this currency, no matter how they try to bring it down, it will last to the preaching of the gospel. Praise the Lord. When the gospel is preached, yes, they can do whatever they want. Like the pyramid, the only standing wall of the seven ancient wonders, this currency will stand. They can butcher it, they can collude against Russia and China, want to bring it down. Yeah, they can only do when the gospel has been preached. Praise God. So we know that by God's grace and so on, you know. So we see. So the pyramid, what happened to the pyramid? We know the cap was never put on the great pyramid, right? It was never put in there. And the people that don't know it, how can you build such a great structure? And we know that has to be a cap on top of it and even put it there. So anyway, in short, the capstone, which represents Christ, actually, the head, was rejected. And the Lord told about it to the Jews. In the same scripture, where he told them that he will take the kingdom from them and give another nation, the Lord told of their headstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the captain of the Lord. In Matthew 21:42, the creation of Asia. You know, this law, you know, the law is the law, represent the law. In Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? See? Telling in the same scripture where he said, I will take the gospel from you and give it to another nation, right? Telling them, right? Talking about the headstone, the capstone, and so on. The Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. You know? So, I don't know that. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And even other scriptures refer to in 1 Peter 2:5. I read, ye also, as lively stone, we are building a spiritual heart for the Lord, right? You begin with your faith, the foundation, and so on, that, you know, and then we add all those things there. Anyway, now telling you and I, no, go to maturity. Now ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer all spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also the Bible says, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. See that here? Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, be the believer, you know, coming to maturity now from the Lord Jesus, which believe, if the Lord Jesus is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That huge pyramid and so on, which you say inside it, are many, many signs and symbols that match the Bible. They even, there is the circle of Enoch in there. We can't go in there right there and something like that. You know, many, many things in the Bible and so on. It depicts air. It, you know, and something like that. You know, the great pit and so on. The king's chamber. We can't go in there. But it's in there. You know, typifies that an empty coffin. Even if depicting the resurrection of Christ. It's all in there. All kind of signs in there, you know. Anyway, so the cap wasn't put there. The Christ Jesus, the capstone, the headstone, you know, wasn't put there. It was rejected, you know. It was there. They never put it in there. It was rejected. So anyway, at verse 8, at a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, see, at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But for us, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. So, brethren, this spiritual house, the finishing of this morning, this temple of the living God that you are, starting with faith as the foundation thereof, foundation stone, and then you have added the virtue, going to maturity now, add knowledge of the glory of God, knowledge of the word of God, you got temperance now, you know, and then you are patient. Bible says, be patient with all men. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's another scripture. Say, be patient with all men. Your boss, your whosoever it is, with all men. Then godliness, Christ-like, you know, Christ-like, and brotherly kindness. Now, see, now you are not told to add charity. you know, and of course, you know, a type, you know, so then when you put, you know, when you put this charity on, it is then you are filled with all the fullness of God. You come to a perfect man or woman in Christ, you know. And in Ephesians 4:13, which I read before, finish up here, till we all come in the unity of the faith, you know, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All the church have to come to this. When they put on that charity and they have all these things and so on, from faith and then to the divine love, then the church can't stay here anymore. Then the rejected stone, the Christ, will come for the rapture of the church. Love raptures the bride. Praise the Lord. Divine love. See? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, so which I've read before. Now, where in finishing this morning, let me read the scripture here. All these things, how do I get all these things? Oh, faith, you know, all these things, how do I do it, you know? So, I'm so far away from here to getting all these things. You know, don't be discouraged. Last scripture here this morning, God knows where you are in these things. If you are willing, He will get you there. If I'm willing, He will get me there. So here is an encouragement for you this morning to me and you. So Philippians 3:12. So Apostle Paul, you know, not as though I had already attained, you know, either were already perfect, but I follow after. So if you think you don't have all those things this morning in your life, see, well, don't be discouraged. I don't know. I mean, you are cutting it there. Even the apostles, I'm not even there yet. When it was on the time. Anyway, so not as though I already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. All my past failures, I won't reckon with them anymore. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All these disappointments, I won't worry about them. I don't let them go. Want to be a champion of the faith? Here is the champion of the faith talking to you and I by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Forgetting those things that are past. Amen. Reaching on forth for the things that are to come that God has promised you. That's when we can come to maturity. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's what you should be doing. Bible says it was called as a pattern for all those who will afterward believe, even by his preaching and so on. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you because your plan for us, oh Lord, your thoughts towards us. We read it the sound. Your thoughts towards us are the sound by the seashore. No, and they are all good thoughts. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give all the expected end. What is the expected end? To be like Christ. When we see you, we be like you. As you are, so are we in this world. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And see ye as God, sir. Because God's word has come unto us. So we thank you, Lord, for all these things, Lord Jesus. Coming into maturity. That is the will of God for every one of your children. Let they have their eye opening across the universe, across the earth, Lord God, for God's children. Not to remain spiritual babies. Know all their Christian experience. In the name of the Lord Jesus. But you are right, O Lord, the challenger, and through the grace of God, O Lord, Lord God, to attain to this thing which you have promised us through faith, and and trusting the Lord, and believing the Lord, and just receiving the promises of God. Lord, we thank you for all the time we have spent this morning. As we go this morning, let the Holy Spirit even expand this be the truth and the true word of the living God. In the name of Jesus. This is the very mind of Christ concerning his church. Lord, in the name of the Lord, Lord, O Lord God, and help us to go back, you know, like the Bereans of old in the book of Acts. The Bereans, when Paul has said all those things, then they will go and see, are all these related to this? They will check the Old Testament. Oh, yeah, it's related to himself. So we will go for this morning, meditating, and therefore coming, and daily receiving our inheritance in the name of the Lord. We bless you for being with us this morning, and we thank you. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, we commit all our need to your hand. The new week is going to your hand, Lord. Lord, your angel has gone before us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, as we practice the scriptures, Lord, we shall lack no good thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bible says all things are ours in the name of the Lord. Bible says all things are ours in the name of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We commit every need here to your hand this morning. and we just have patience with your word, the Lord will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we have patience with that word, then it shall come to pass in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord will make us to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We shall receive favor wherever we turn, even as we go this week, in the business arena, in the work that we do, and before all men, in the name of the Lord. Father, in the hour we are living at, we pray, looking at the word of today, Lord. Lord, what a privilege to live in this country, Lord, predestinated country like this, and so on. Oh, gracious Father, oh, just have mercy upon us, Lord. This kind of country people still complain when we look at the raggedness of the rest of the nation. How can we not share the victory and give everything we have got to God? Because you have a purpose in making us to live here, not to lavish things upon ourselves. Unto whom much is given, much will be required, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to help us, Father, Lord, not only to ourselves, lift up the other Christians all over the world, and pray for the word of today. Pray for all men. That's what we are here for, Lord, in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship and we adore you, Lord. So as we go now, Lord, thank you for the angel of your presence, keeping us in all our ways. Thank you for little children, Lord, the guardian angel, in the name of the Lord. Thank you for your protection, Lord. You say you will preserve our going out and our coming in, Lord, from this time forth, you say, and even forevermore. Say, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Lord, we believe and have patience with your word. Until we meet again, Lord, we know you will watch between us, Lord. And Lord, with greater joy shall we gather again, should the Lord tarry. Father, we worship you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We are saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.